Doug Adler is the Senior Vice President for Investments at Raymond James in East Lansing. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Tony.
You know, every day I learn that the market is like having a kid. As a parent, you got to be patient because you never know what the next day is going to bring. And it's the same way with the market. It's either the bull or the bear, and you got to be in it for the long haul. And now it seems like all is well, and just around the corner, who knows what's coming.
Yeah, I've never heard that analogy, but it is a bit like being a parent, I guess. That's true. You know, it's the tough thing about the stock market, Tony, is, you know, a lot of times, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have gone through this, you think about something and intellectually it makes sense and you kind of plot your path for your portfolio, and the complete opposite happens, where you own a company and you think it's going to go up for a variety of reasons and it goes down. And you think, well, gosh, how can that be? And it's true. It's the money is a lot like, I'll say, teenagers maybe, the market rather is. It's an emotional animal, and it's driven by fear and greed. And a lot of times, those things are not aligned with intellectual outlooks or fundamentals of a company. And for that reason, the market zigs in and zags, and it doesn't make sense a lot of times.
All right, if you look at the front page of this morning's Wall Street Journal, top headlines read, stress rises on Social Security, economic gloom deepens Europe's political crisis. Even though gas prices are down and look like they're going to go down a little bit more, that's been a concern. There's a lot of debt here in this country, yet the market doesn't seem to be reacting to those stresses.
It hasn't. It's had a great, first, we'll call it quarter of the year, and it's, been a little tougher here in April. But, yeah, here's the powerful thing for the stock market, I think, is why we've been able to kind of brush aside all these things. Because those are some big negative, we'll call them structural things that we're going to have to tackle. The debt is not going to go away. I mean, we all know that. So we're going to have to address it, and obviously neither party in this country has decided to do that in any meaningful way. And I'll tell you, just as a quick side show, if you want to see what happens if you don't deal with your debt, Greece is a good example. Spain's at the fore now. The markets will provide their religion to the political body. And, you never want the United States to end up there because it's a completely different animal than Greece, let's say, because of our size and all the other things that we do so well. But that does show you, where it goes. Ultimately, the markets are going to revolt if we, as the United States, don't deal with it, I think. But, that's a bigger question, and we have some time. I think the question you posed up front was, I lost my train of thought, Tony, believe it or not.
Well, I was just saying, it's all doom and gloom out there, but to the market, it keeps doing its own thing.
Yeah, that's right. And here's the great thing now is corporate America isn't, paying attention to that stuff. People are going in every day and trying to figure out how to make the business better. And as a result of that, corporate earnings, they're knocking the cover off the ball. The results have been phenomenal. The S&P 500 essentially is aggregating the companies in the S&P 500. They're putting up record earnings right now. And guess what? The stock market's done pretty well. And I think that's what happened last year, Tony, when the news was so bad, to your point, with the debt downgrade in the U.S. and the European fiasco, and you had the tsunami in Japan that hurt the supply chain, not to mention the human side of that. All those things, completely negative, consistently negative, and yet what did the stock market do? It was basically flat last year. So with all that bad news coming at it, it was able to hold up. And I think the reason for that is balance sheets are phenomenally well. Companies are really solid in terms of their fiscal position. And then the earnings are there.
Well, I recently read that people are spending more money, that corporations are hiring people and putting a little bit more money into infrastructures. Do you agree with that?
I do. There's no question.
Why is that?
I'm sorry?
Why is that? Why are they having the success that they're having and which is leading them to reinvest?
If you looked at the earnings of a lot of the household name, companies in this country, they're multinational, which we know. But McDonald's, as an example, I don't know what the percentage is off the top of my head, but it's around 60% of their earnings are derived overseas. You know, same thing is true for Coca-Cola, and you can go right down the line. So, Asia in particular, as we know, has been a very strong region for a number of years, great growth prospects for those type of companies. So it's not just what's happening in front of us day to day, or even in this country. You know, sometimes we get a little blind, you know, starting to feel better now here in Michigan, but in 08, 09, you know, it didn't feel so good. The rest of the country or parts of the country were not doing, they weren't doing well, but they weren't doing as bad. So sometimes we get a little bit, lost, I think, on what the big picture is. And that's what's happening globally, is the picture is pretty good. And as a result, these companies have been able to put up the profits, and then they're doing the right thing. That's the encouraging thing. You mentioned this infrastructure investment or capital expenditures back into the business. You know, that's two-pronged, and it's both are positive. You know, on the one side, that creates activity, economic activity today. And then secondarily, the longer, you know, companies don't invest $1.2 trillion, which is what they invested last year, into their business. They don't do that unless they're expecting some return on it in the future. And that's the second prong, is now they're doing things, they're putting in place the opportunity, or doing things that they think will generate further earnings down the road, and the machine just keeps going, you know, running over and over again. It's bullish.
We're talking with Doug Adler, who's the Senior Vice President for Investments at Raymond James in East Lansing. Doug shoots me over emails from time to time with newsy information about the market. He recently writes, earnings largely being sold. Apple, $70 per share in the past 2 weeks. How about that?
Yeah, they've dropped it. They're indicating that down another $4 this morning. Stock peaked at $6.44, and the date there, let me just tell you, right, yeah, 4/10. On April 10th, stock was $6.44 this morning. Pre-market is trading hands at $5.67. Sitting right at, it's what we call the 50-day moving average, which is kind of an artificial line where you think if the stock could stop going down, this would be a good point. But I think the catalyst for Apple is going to be tonight. They report their earnings after the close. It's clearly going to be watched. And Apple, I mentioned to you, I think last time we talked, we had a little quick little conversation about Apple. And, you know, it is one of those stocks that everybody loves it. And there's nothing wrong with that, inherently wrong with that, but the risk in that can be that when everybody loves it, that means everybody that wants to buy it has already bought it. And when you get to that point, there aren't any more buyers. And guess what? Sellers could come in. It looks like that's what they're doing so far. Now, we'll see. I mean, this is a great company, and I'm sure they're going to have a phenomenal number tonight, quarterly result number tonight, and, you know, the stock could be right back in play tomorrow.
All right, getting back to Europe, you wrote me that Europe is getting hammered again. Spain is off 20% from recent highs, and that leaves us with Dow futures indicating down more again, and that was at yesterday's open by more than 100 points.
Yeah, you know, Europe did this thing called the LTRO, which is the long-term refinancing operation. It's analogous to what the United States did with the TARP plan, the Troubled Asset Relief Program. That's what we did for the banks. And it worked here. Interest rates came down, as we all know. They're still down. You know, the banks are rebuilding, and, you know, the world looks better. Well, in Europe last year, towards the end of last year, they came out with this LTRO program. And some of the southern countries in trouble, Italy and Spain in particular right now, guess what? They went out and they did the exact same thing. They got money from the window, which is they borrowed money from the European Central Bank. They went and invested it. It didn't work. Interest rates have gone up there, not down. And that's a problem, and that's why you're seeing, that's one of the big reasons, Tony, we're seeing the volatility here of late, is you kind of look at it and you say, uh-oh, you know, the outcome was supposed to be X, it's Y, what do we do now? And nobody knows what the answer is. And so it's starting to percolate, and it's getting a little bit more heated.
All right, Doug Adler is the Senior Vice President for Investments at Raymond James. Doug, as always, thanks so much, sir.
Hey, Tony, have a great day.